You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And welcome into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode from The Athletic, Marquise Munson taking you through this Wednesday morning. Fellas, how are we doing? Rexrode, how's life?
Well, it's good, but I kind of was interested in that Blackhawks-Vegas series. Didn't watch a second of it. That's over now. I was really into the Lakers-Blazers last night. Loved the first half, and I'm like, oh. And I just went to bed, and yeah. I wake up, and I find out that the Blazers won, which is cool. I see, as I see Marquise stewing in the
just an immediate dig at Munson.
He said he wouldn't be surprised. So maybe he was right. But I wish I could have seen that. I hope some of that series can be, like, at a different time. But it's interesting because – I thought the Blazers did a pretty decent job on Davis, and I didn't anticipate that. Like Whiteside had some good minutes on him, you know? And
yeah, he had a couple good blocks.
That to me
that
is
important.
That's the question.
He'll
right?
completely screw that up next game. Trust me.
Yeah, you're probably right. Surprising day. Orlando just rolls Milwaukee.
You gotta watch out for the Magic, man. I said yesterday on the show, that's a guaranteed sweep. They cannot lose game one. Oh, man.
I mean, I didn't get to see any of that game, but that's sort of the theme. There's a lot of sports, and I'm not watching a lot of it. But
do want to point out, big win for the Miami Heat yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Did you get to see
yeah,
it?
Yeah, against a team with no Sabonis and no Victor Oladipo.
We're not going to let facts get in the way of a good story. It was a big win for the Miami Heat yesterday.
That's right. What's up with Oladipo?
He got poked in the eye, and apparently that was enough to put him out for the rest of the game.
Okay, so he got knocked out early in the game.
Yes.
All right.
But he literally got poked in the eye, so I don't really know what's going on there. And he came back to shoot the free throws. So he was okay to shoot the free throws and then never came back in.
All
Very
right.
strange. But hey.
Hey, a win's
whatever.
A win, man.
Win's a win. Munson, are you okay this morning? Is everything going well for you?
Yeah. I don't let sports dictate my life, man.
You know, some people
like,
do.
Look, I'm not going to go off the ledge like a lot of people do when their teams lose games.
Okay.
Like, I was pretty – like, I said my piece on Twitter. You know, Caldwell Pope is trash. And, you know, usually I don't like to call players trash on air, but he's awful.
You sound like my 12-year-old right now.
He's awful. Danny Green is awful.
He did not shoot the ball well.
Kyle Kuzma is allergic to scoring more than 20 points a game because if he does, he gets sick.
Oh, my gosh. That Dame shot, by the way –
yeah,
to make
and
it
look,
92-89. Holy cow.
A lot of it's LeBron because LeBron has to know when to turn it on and say, I'm going to take over this game and stop passing it to these scrubs on this team.
Made history again last night, though.
Yeah. And then Anthony Davis over here shooting threes like he's Steph Curry instead of, you know, using his size to, you know, destroy the Blazers. So, yeah. But I'm not like, look, I haven't watched the Dodgers win a World Series ever in my lifetime. The Raiders I watched them get obliterated in the Super Bowl, and I haven't watched the Lakers win a championship since Kobe. So, look, I don't care. I'm all for disappointment.
So
it's part of my life.
Kind of a down in the dumps segment to start off here. Yeah. I'm sorry, Munson. Have you at least watched the clips of 88? You know, like Gibby coming off the bench. I mean, that's probably my greatest non-Tigers baseball moment of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got.
See, I mean, but I just didn't. I didn't feel it in the moment.
So that
it's all
I'm
important.
To think. So
feel it in the moment.
That predated. Well, I know. So that predated you by a couple years, right?
A couple years. I was born in '90, so yeah. As a Sunday, I'll be 30. So
predated me as well.
What a week! So you, I know. I know you're the baby.
I just want to point out that
you're the old baby of the show. So it's a tough week. You got the Lakers going down to the Blazers. You're turning 30, but you're still keeping a positive attitude. I think that's great.
I mean, look, like I said yesterday, I would not be surprised. And I know that's like, you know, pick one or the other, but like I said yesterday, I would not be surprised if the Lakers win this series in five. also would not be surprised if the Blazers just win this series.
So Charles Barkley said if the Portland wins game one, they're sweeping the Lakers. Here we are. They've won game one.
Charles.
I'm just telling you what Chuck said.
I love Chuck, but like, remember, I mean, how many years did he say the Warriors can't win? All they do is shoot. And now he's just, the Blazers are amazing because they do
the
same thing.
They're going to sweep the Lakers.
Okay.
Like, I'm not, like, it's just, this playoff is weird. And it's all sports. It's not like an 8 seed. It doesn't really matter anymore because it's like you're playing on neutral court. It's like the Lakers are not. They're really not a home court advantage.
No.
Like, how is that a home court advantage? There's no fans there. It's the same thing with the Magic. And that's why they were able to beat the Bucks yesterday, because that home crowd environment doesn't really dictate a game anymore. It's about a game. And it's the same thing with the NCAA tournament. That, you know, it's just like, you know, sometimes the lower seed gets the upper hand, but then the upper seeds get, you know, they get their momentum going again.
Sounds like you're already kind of lining out some excuses.
No, I'm not. I don't care.
Okay.
I'm not going to let – look, this Laker team is – their supporting cast is probably as bad as the Lakers supporting team back in like 06 when Kobe had like Smush Parker, Lamar Odom, and Luke Walton as his three best players. Like, it's that bad. Kyle Kuzma is awful. Caldwell Pope is awful. Danny Green is awful. Alex Caruso is only a meme on Twitter, really a good player.
He came in and threw one down.
He threw one down, and then what did he do on the other side of the ball? Let CJ McCollum score at will on him. He can't get past a pick play to save his life. If I told him, here's an ultimatum, you either get eliminated completely or you learn how to stop a pick, he'll be like, man, you might as well just eliminate us now because I can't get over a pick to save my life.
I think we've made him progressively more mad,
yeah,
which is the goal of this segment.
This has been a nice burn.
It is what it is, man. I watched the Dodgers lose. I watched the Lakers lose. I watched the Raiders lose. You know what would change my perspective? Actually watching one of them win a championship.
Wouldn't even know what to do with yourself.
Yeah. I was
okay.
Just like,
I respect that.
It is what it is, man. You know, I got Alabama football. That's all that matters. That's why I want to beat up on Vandy, because it makes me feel better. It makes me feel better about my life when Alabama beats up on like a poor school in the SEC.
Yeah, they'll only beat Missouri by 40 instead of 50.
Yeah.
No, definitely. I'll be talking the exact same. I'll be mad if Alabama lets Missouri even score a point.
1 point.
How dare. Like 1 point. Not even a field goal. They get nothing.
A safety.
They get nothing against us. But Alabama football makes me happy because they just beat up on people, and it's fun.
They make it all better.
All right, so we had a development yesterday. And, Munson, are we ready to play this development that happened at Titans camp?
Yes, we are.
Go?
Okay, let's play the Titans camp first, and then we'll do Titans camp
because I've been waiting to hear this. Rex Road, you had an encounter with Mike Vrabel yesterday that I have not yet heard. And I am very much looking forward to hearing that now. So let's do that. Let's hear Joe Rexroad's encounter with Mike Vrabel yesterday.
So, Joe, you got anything here? You want to ask anything about Cameo or all this other stuff that you got? You guys look like high school kids here doing Snapchat.
Man, I wasn't sure if you could read that stuff or not. But, yeah, I mean, if you have any thoughts on Cameo, we'll take them.
I'm okay, Joe.
All right.
Hey, guys.
So you said encounter. It sounded like something in a dark alley. I got sent to the principal's office by Mr. Vrabel.
So explain what just happened.
Yeah, okay. So when we have these Zooms, anybody who's done Zoom, there's a chat. So in the chat, we all write, like, basically it's a message. We all see all the reporters, but they go, Robbie Boren is running the chat. So you write in there, like, you know, question for Vrabel. But then every once in a while, someone will be like, oh, yeah, you know, nice question, or we'll kind of go back and forth, have a little fun. I've been doing that a lot. So yesterday Vrabel says, he's like, all these people keep, like, John Glenn, everybody's like, okay, got two questions for you, Mike. Because, you know, basically you're going to get called on one. So
right.
People trying to
make
maximize. I actually didn't – I wasn't going to ask Vrabel a question yesterday. I was good. But I wrote in the chat, I've got three questions for Vrabel after he said that, you know, just like – to have fun with everybody. And I don't remember the exact three, but it was basically like, do you know what Cameo is? Do you have a particular celebrity you'd love to see on Cameo?
Yes.
Obviously having fun with Stillman. And then like Paul Karski comes in. He writes like 0.01, like he'd pay like a penny, which I thought was actually, I think I said like, oh, that's you'd pay that much for Stillman on Cameo?
It's pretty good.
So it's just this chat of us making fun of Stillman on Cameo because that's what we should all be doing in this market.
Correct.
For as long as, you know, as long as we have any kind of platform. And then, yeah, I had no idea because before we've always joked on there and stuff, and I just assumed Vrabel had his little screen and whatever, saw the video, but apparently he's following along in the chat too. So he's
probably just waiting for one of you to say something about him, and then he can just pounce on it.
Right.
That's probably what's happening.
Yeah.
Now, he just blew his cover yesterday, so good job on you for that. You may have just saved someone else severe tongue lashing at some point.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, most of
it's yourself.
Most of the people messing around in there would be like me, Paul. I've ripped on Terry McCormick in there because like he's the only guy who's slower than me on the unmute.
Yeah, which that's saying something.
Yeah, yeah. But so Vrabel sent me to the fun police, man. Vrabel got me. So. And actually, I take offense to what he said because he said it was like high school. I think this was a little bit more junior high than high school.
Yes, I mean, let's get it right.
Yeah. I, to be fair, this is a little bit more junior high. But I wish I would have asked it differently because he's got to know about Stillman and Cameo too. You know,
you would think so.
I mean, he should also get in on this movement of enjoying Stillman on Cameo.
I agree. And speaking of Stillman on Cameo, do we have this ready, Munson? Is this something that we're ready to go? We have an update. We have an update on Jared Stillman's Cameo experience. We have videos available to us. Let's hear from Jared Stillman now on his Cameo page.
Hey, Drew, it's Jared Stillman. Your buddies Joey and Matt told me that you've got a big birthday coming up. So I want to wish you a very, very happy birthday. And not just from me, but we got the GM right over here as well. And we got all of our wall of pictures, including that's me and my buddies. And then, of course, you got over here, you got me on senior day for women's basketball and much, much more. I got my Louisville hat on. But let me tell you something, Drew. There is nothing that says happy birthday. And if I was going to truly, if we were having a big party, there is nothing I would do more than get you Fireball for your birthday. Drew. Be sure to enjoy this year, whatever year it is. Be sure to have a great one from me, the GM, the Fireball, and most importantly, let the big dog eat. Happy birthday, Drew.
Now, to explain this real quick, when he's mentioning Floyd, the GM, it is pictures of Floyd. It's not actually Floyd himself who broadcast from Jared's household. So Jared could easily record this while Floyd's actually
present. Thank God he didn't drag Floyd into that, like, literally, while he was there.
He'll be
there.
Like, get that camera out of my face.
Someone paid $15.99 for that.
I know. That was my first thought.
And also bragging about your friends in the picture. Like, hey,
there's my friends.
Happy birthday. Here's my friends over here.
And the Fireball. Like, what is that?
Well,
me, Floyd, the Fireball? What?
So he mentions the Fireball twice. Like in the other video that he has, which is not as good. It's not as funny as that one. Yeah. But he also mentions the Fireball whiskey. Like he has it present before he does these Cameo videos. Like he has to go to the cabinet or the freezer or whatever it's
go
in
grab his
to go grab his Fireball before he records these videos.
Let the big dog eat. That's Jared's. That's his thing, huh?
Yeah. Apparently somebody wanted that. $15.99.
Like, Jared, listen, if I'm paying for this, just please make sure you say let the big dog eat, okay? Whatever you do.
Well, they have a message, like, so you can send them what you actually want some of them to say. So somebody probably said, hey, can you wish my buddy a happy birthday and also say, let the big dog eat?
Yeah.
But I doubt that they put in there, can you show us pictures of Floyd and your friends?
Your high school friends.
And senior day at Louisville. Can you please show us that beforehand?
Look at me in my Louisville sweats. See, this is like Mike Vrabel should be all in. I understand you got a football team to prepare and all that stuff. I get that.
You got
and
plenty
these
of
press
time
conferences are
team.
Annoying, okay? But yeah, I mean, get in on this, Vrabel. This is fun. We should all be making fun of Jared Stillman right now.
I mean, I am proud that this has infiltrated Titans press conferences now. I'm glad that we've gotten to this point. So good on you for really taking us and leading the charge to this point, just because this is important stuff.
You know, rolling the ball out there, and let's just see what happens with it, you know?
Ugh.
We got a lot of potential yet with this.
Both of those were every bit as good as I imagined. Vrabel getting on you, Stillman releasing his cameo video. After that, I mean, he may need to charge $20.
Well, he has two reviews, okay?
Both
five-star. So he's doubled his review. They're both five-star, of course. And one of them says, wait, do I have it up here? One of them says, it is way too cheap. I'm going to read this. This is from Drew.
So okay, that video
wait,
was for.
This, okay, so this is who it's for. An amazing cameo. I'm going to read Drew's review. Quote, an amazing cameo, way underpriced at $15.99. In my opinion, Jared could get closer to 100 for his cameos. Oh, then in parentheses, let the big dog eat. Thank you, Jared. End quote from Drew.
Please send in more requests, because look, we're obviously promoting the hell out of Jared's cameos.
Yes, we're making Jared money every day.
Yeah, we are.
So can you please request more videos for Jared to record so I can play them on our show and laugh at them as I'm doing
this?
Yes,
this could be like a first segment tradition. This, like this our is favorite Jared, you know, cameo video of the week or whatever, you know? Like we could... Look at Munson right there. Yeah,
let's not go overboard, buddy. Let's keep it one cameo a month at a time, bud.
All right, when we come back, we're going to finally dive into some Titans football. We'll talk about Corey Davis. Do we have long-term faith in him at all? That's next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I don't want to sound insensitive. You know, this is not going to be what this is about. This is about that every player here is under contract and it's pro football. You know, I mean, there's decisions that every organization makes. We try to be honest. And I know that John and I are honest with the players, whether that is in regards to contracts, position, play time. You know, we try to be as honest as we can be with them. And then again, you're honest with these guys as far as their performance on the field and the way that the National Football League and free agency works is that when you perform, you're either going to take care of your family by being here or you're going to take care of your family by being somewhere else. And that then is the onus on the player, you know, to perform for himself, for his team and whatever future that may be. So I don't make a whole lot of it. You know, I just think that these guys are professionals and I know that Corey worked hard, very hard to get back out there with his teammates, and then we'll continue to bring him along and get him going.
That was Mike Vrabel on Corey Davis, and really kind of an interesting way to view the contract situations in the NFL there. It's like, look, man, not trying to be insensitive, but if you perform, you're going to get paid either here or somewhere else. He's right.
I wish he'd be more sensitive to our needs to make fun of Jared Stillman, too, but hey, that's another issue. We'll work on that, Vrabel. That's sort of his. It's interesting because Vrabel obviously is a guy who has played in the league, and I think that automatically gives him. If you go across the NFL coaches, there's a lot of them who have not played in the league,
right?
Yeah, a lot of like D3 QBs who end up becoming like NFL head coaches. But Vrabel's a guy who's played in the league, played well for a long time, made a lot of money, so players understand that he gets that side of it. Whereas a lot of coaches don't necessarily, but he's very matter of fact about all that stuff. Just, I mean, it's, you know, if you're going to be in this league on any side of it, the player side, GM side, coach side, there's a whole lot of just see you later. Thank you. And next guy in. And I think with Corey Davis, and he was asked about this too and had an interesting response, but there can't really have been anyone who could realistically say Corey Davis should have his option picked up.
No. Look, we heard Corey Curtis talk about this the other day, and Darren too. He's the number 5 overall pick in the draft, and that's not his fault that he was selected there, but there are always going to be expectations that come with that. And you look at what happened last year, 43 catches, 600 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, that's just very average, very average, maybe even below average numbers for Corey Davis. And the thing that I keep going back to is, you know, we understand the first 6 weeks the offense was awful. It was pedestrian, maybe the worst offense in the league. Tannehill came in. All of a sudden, A.J. Brown took off. Jonnu Smith took off. Derrick Henry took off. All these different guys ended up being a lot more productive. Corey Davis did not. He was not more productive once Ryan Tannehill got in there. And it makes you like kind of scratch your head, like, why? Why was Corey Davis the guy that did not have an uptick in production once Tannehill came in there? To me, that was the most concerning part last year about Davis' season, is everybody else really on the whole team just kind of had a new jolt of energy about him once Tannehill came in. Corey Davis did not. Now, how much of that has to do with injury, I don't know. But that's the thing I keep going back to, is everybody else seemed to have a pretty good uptick in production, and Corey Davis did not.
Yeah, I think injury certainly could be part of it. Injury has been a part of, I think, a lot of things with Corey Davis. It's the story often when guys don't pan out, you know, in this league. I mean, some people just can't avoid injuries. He seems like one of those guys. Taylor Lewan said on his podcast, he referred to turf toe. We know Corey Davis was just taken off PUP. He was asked about that. He basically brushed it off, you know, like no excuses, but he also didn't deny that it was part of it.
Right.
And it's not an excuse for him, but I think you could flip this around as a positive too, Robbie, if you wanted, and say it wasn't that long ago in this town. Well, we were talking about two things with that offense. One, the whole Mariota argument, you know, is he the guy, is he not the guy, is he a franchise quarterback, is he not? But also, like, when is Corey Davis going to be the number five pick? When is he going to live up to this? Can he be healthy? Can he be – and obviously he had a good – second year. I mean, that was an encouraging step forward in 18. But now, I mean, there's a totally different deal with him. He knows he's playing for a contract this year, and who knows if it'll be here or somewhere else. But there's way less pressure on him now. A.J. Brown has emerged. Jonnu Smith is emerging. I mean, you know, Derrick Henry has basically become the focal point of the offense. Ryan Tannehill, like you said, played well. I mean, to me, Corey Davis is a guy, and if Humphreys is healthy, you have – again, an underrated weapon in that slot. So Corey Davis, first of all, should get good matchups and should have opportunities to make plays. And everyone's not going to be staring at him this year saying, where is the guy? It's like, hey, if he responds, great. And if he does and plays well and has good numbers, again, think about what that offense could be. So I think psychologically this year sets up really well for Corey Davis. Now we'll see if his body can hold up.
Yeah, and I agree with that to a certain extent. Also, though, if you're him and you know you're playing for a contract, like what kind of contract, if you're Corey Davis right now, are you expecting to get? Because, yeah, you're the number five overall pick, but your numbers just don't back that up. They just don't back that up. What do you need to see from a, not necessarily like he has to have this many catches this year, or this many yards. What do you have to see from Corey Davis if you're the Titans this year, to really commit to him long term?
That's a good question. I don't know. I this is where we get into stuff that you'll laugh at me about. But listen, if anybody who listened to Corey Davis yesterday, you know, you can read the transcript or whatever, you know, you can easily see every time you talk to Corey Davis why they drafted him. In part, I mean, he's a really impressive guy, and he has taken all these ups and downs in stride and continued to be a team player, and that does matter. And, yes, he does block, and that does matter. And so things like that, I think, would make him attractive to them if he's healthy and he has a pretty good year. What his contract would be, I don't know. But the thing is with Corey Davis, this just goes back to, you know, he played at Western Michigan. He was overlooked by a bunch of people. He just wanted to somehow get in the NFL. And he got all the way to the number five pick, but he still has that mindset of proving people wrong and proving himself. And so he's back in that situation. He's going to be in the league. And, yeah, people are probably always going to say, you were the number five pick, you didn't live up to it. But I still think he's a guy who can be a pretty good number two in this league and a pretty good number two for this team moving forward. Now, what we don't know is on his end. Sometimes players are like, well, if you're not picking up my option, I will be somewhere else.
Right.
You know, and I'm going to show you how good I am this year, which Titans hope he has that mindset. And then maybe he'll just like, yeah, I'm going to go have a fresh start. And that may be the case. But I think this is one of those not pick up an option situations that still could end up with the guy staying with the team. Because I think they like a lot about him And it is more than anything, it's just, can that body stay together?
Yeah.
Because that has been a problem.
It's been a problem. And the thing about him is, it seems like every year when he's on the field in training camp, all people talk about, look at Corey Davis out there. Man, you see that catch Corey Davis made out there? You're just waiting, if you're a Titans fan, to see that translate to the field every week.
But also remember, that's also part of, he was the number five pick, and so everyone's looking for every little glimpse of
right.
it. I mean, you can go back. Again, we've talked about the New England game before in 2018 where he destroyed Stephon Gilmore. And the Philly game that year in overtime, he had the winning touchdown, but he was just great. I mean, we've seen moments where you're like, okay, I can see it. I do think health is a big part of why we haven't seen it enough. But to your point on Tannehill, this is also Tannehill-Davis chemistry, Tannehill trusting him. Again, I can't imagine when you look at everything else this offense has going that he's not going to have some real favorable situations this year, and the Titans should be able to exploit that, and he should be able to capitalize on
it. And I think you brought up a great point, and I think Mariota was really bad about this in terms of, man, if you're not wide open, I'm not throwing the ball. Like, I'm not giving you a chance to go up and get a 50-50 ball. And you look at A.J. Brown and Corey Davis from just a physical skill set standpoint, they're going to be able to win a lot of those matchups. And I think Tannehill is more willing to throw those than Mariota ever was.
Yeah, but I think he can be more willing. I think like the New Orleans game last year with A.J. Brown, sometimes it's like, you know what, Lattimore is covering him well, but I still would give A.J. Brown a pretty good chance if you throw one up there. You know, he had one fade for like 34 yards in that game. So that's another thing that could be added this year that maybe wasn't as prevalent last year when Tannehill's coming in and trying to, you know, figure out the offense, prove himself, all that stuff. I think this year there's a new confidence from Tannehill that he knows this is his team, and so I think maybe we'll see more stuff like that.
When we come back, there's a guy on the Titans defense that I think could be a huge key on what the Titans do this year in terms of whether or not they make the playoffs. We'll talk about that next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Well, I hope that the competitiveness throughout the team is there. And that's the only way for us to improve, is to know how to practice, take care of each other, you know, play hard and physical and fundamentally sound, but without slinging guys down, or, you know, we're not cutting anybody and we're trying to take care of each other. We're all on the same team, but there's a fine line that we want them to compete. And I think defensively, it's can we match our guy? Can we keep our eyes out of the backfield? Can we do it without fouling and grabbing jerseys? You know, there's a lot of space out there. You know, in those one-on-ones, there's a lot of space and there's no other bodies. And so, you know, you have to be really sound in your technique and make sure that you're finishing and not looking at the quarterback. Offensively, we got to run great routes. We got to set guys up. And then we got to go catch the football.
Mike Vrabel laying it out there in Titans training camp. I tell you what, though, I was very skeptical when they first hired him, just because, you know, he'd never been a head coach before. He was a D coordinator the year before in Houston, and you looked at everything that went on with the stats in Houston. Not great. Wasn't a great year for that defense. Now, they had a ton of injuries. I think he's done a great job. He really has. I think Vrabel, I was very skeptical that, you know, firing Malarkey just for the sake of firing Malarkey may have been stupid. I think it's been the right move. I think we've seen that.
Yeah, I think Vrabel's done well. I think he needs to work on a few things, primarily embracing making fun of Jared Stillman and his cameo.
Correct.
But listen, no one's perfect, and it's still early in camp, and Vrabel can still get to where he needs to get as a coach before the season starts. But in all seriousness, yeah, look, think about last year, Robbie. I mean, last year, 2-4. Last year, kicking stuff going on, and you're like, what, like,
fourth down
to kick,
decisions
to not
yeah.
kick, trick plays, all this stuff. I mean, it was a very, like, what's happening year, and then all of a sudden they get to the AFC title game, like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, but that's this league, too. It's, I mean, look, they go like 7-9 this year, and it could be injuries and bad luck and all this stuff, and I don't know about this Vrabel.
Right.
I don't know.
He's on the hot seat.
This guy, come on. Go.
Spends too much time joking around with the media on Zoom calls.
Yeah, why is he getting mad at the media, huh? Worry about your football team, Vrabel. Yeah, you know, it's the league. I mean, John Robinson overall has been very successful as the GM here. It's been a really impressive tenure. It's been an almost instant turnaround from him being hired from Amy Adams Strunk, taking over as controlling owner, hiring John Robinson. And 2-4 last year. Ooh, Corey Davis. Oh, Mariota. How about Kevin Dodd? I mean, it doesn't. You know, it's amazing.
Kevin Dodd.
I know that this is sports too. It's pro sports, but I think even more in the NFL, it just changes on a dime. There's so little continuity. I actually write in this thing about Vrabel and Ohio State and the Titans for tomorrow. It's actually only about 4,500 words. It's shorter than
Slacker.
I thought. Yeah. But in that, I just lost my train of thought.
In that Ohio State article, something about Vrabel.
Yeah. Man, this is bad. I totally blew it.
This is what happens.
I had a great point.
Old, you stay up and watch the first half of the Blazers Lakers game. You just can't finish your thought.
I'm actually freaked out.
Wait a minute, what? Oh, wow, I missed your football game. I'm sorry. Let me get back to where I was talking about.
I am freaked out right now.
It's okay.
That is scary when you have a thought in your head and then it escapes your head.
Oh, it happens to me all the time. All the time.
Well, just
on a daily basis.
Now put yourself in my age and imagine that. But now this is all right. Talk about something
else.
Old
man Joe. Well, I was going to eventually get to a Dory Jackson in this segment anyway.
There you go. Let's just change the subject.
Let's just change it completely. That's fine. We'll do that. We transition on the fly here on Morning Drive.
Jeez.
All right. Dory Jackson to me is a guy where you watch him play, and I think he's been fine. I think he's been good for the Titans. But I see him physically. I think the punt return game's been a big part of it as well. And I watch him play, and I just think there's another level that he can reach. I think physically, Dory Jackson, he's right up there with the top corners in the league. I think with the things he can do, the skill set he has, he could absolutely be a shutdown corner in this league, in my opinion. He just really hasn't gotten there yet. Now, I did think in the second half of the season last year, he did a pretty good job from a consistency standpoint. But I still think there's another level that Dory Jackson can get to that he hasn't gotten to yet on a consistent basis. Agree or disagree?
I agree. I think that's the funny thing is it's the 2017 draft, and so everybody focuses on Davis, but obviously Adoree here's a memory test, I think 19. You know, a big part of that pick, which was perceived as a little bit high, was that Adoree Jackson was going to be a big-time returner in this league, and there were flashes of that. There were also some real iffy moments to the point that finally – you know, that's just not part of his role. Maybe it will be moving forward, but
was it the Jacksonville game last year?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, that set them up to go ahead early. And really, I mean, that was a big, big moment. And then they kept him out there. There was another, like, Vrabel being questioned after the game, you know, moment with that decision to keep him out there. Eventually, he wasn't out there anymore. But just as a cornerback, I mean, look at the defense last year when they lost him. Sometimes it's like when a guy's not on the field, you realize, man. I mean, he's a very good player. He can run with just about anyone. He's a good tackler. Maybe not great, but he's fine. He's not like a guy who's afraid of contact.
I think the next step is take the ball away. You know, like the interceptions need to be there a little bit more with more regularity than they have been.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. You know, you'd like to see a guy, you know, a lot of that has to do with sometimes, you know, what you're in defensively, how much man you're playing. It's a lot easier to get picks if you're in zone looks. But still, yeah, you'd like to see him get some takeaways and just take it up another level. He is never going to be, like, if you compare Adoree Jackson to Malcolm Butler, Malcolm Butler's out there scraping and clawing and talking, and just he is going to get every last inch out of what he has, and he's a good player too. And Adoree's mindset, Adoree is the more talented guy. He's not that kind of guy. He's not a big trash talker, he's a happy-go-lucky kind of guy, which is football people sometimes are like, I don't know, man. We like, you know, you need to love ball more. Be more serious, whatever it is, you know, be more passionate. And so maybe that's true, but I mean, you know, that's who he is. He's still a really good player. And I do think that he's a guy who could take another step. And Right now with this defense, you got that defensive backfield is going to have a lot of pressure on it as it stands right now. And so it's a really good one, potentially really, really good. But a guy like Adoree's got to step up and be even better.
Got a text on the text line from Ben. Says, just because this year is so weird with examples from the NBA and the NHL so far, I wouldn't be surprised if the Titans are one of those teams that just doesn't respond well to everything being different. And I don't know that I would be mad at them for it. Several good teams could get bit by it. I wouldn't be surprised at anything between 5-11 and 11-5.
It is going to be interesting to see how the landscape of this season affects different teams. Like how not having fans in the stands at a place like, I don't know, Arrowhead, that's usually just so crazy and so raucous. Like, does that affect the Chiefs much? I don't think it will, just because I think they're that good. But like, how are different teams going to respond to the different circumstances this year? And obviously, I mean, there's the obvious of who can stay healthy, who can not contract COVID-19 and have it wipe out an entire position group. I mean, that's going to be a big part of this season as well. But even more than that, just kind of handling the different environment. That is an interesting point that Ben brings up there.
I mean, you can say that about any team. I think the playoffs will be interesting because if it's not different by then, and hopefully it is, but if no one has a home field advantage in the playoffs and all you've worked for in the regular season is basically, okay, so you get to, like, not travel and you get to play in your quiet stadium.
Unless you get
home.
A bye, yeah. Like,
yeah, that's true. I mean, a bye, but I mean that could impact and maybe lead to more upsets. By the way, I got my thought back.
Okay, here we go.
Before the end of the segment. Yeah, so I wrote this story. It's running tomorrow. I think it's a good read. Got Urban Meyer and Vrabel and a lot of people on 2012 Ohio State and how they relate to the Titans. But the point I was making on the shortness of the league is that 32 coaches in this league right now, 22 of them have been hired in 2017 or later. So that's just, you know, to illustrate this league and how we were talking about just how quickly things change. It's not the NHL. That's the most fired coach league in pro sports in this country. NHL coaches get fired at a higher rate than any others. But, I mean, 22 of 32, 2017 or later, you got five people basically who are long-term coaches. Belichick, 21st year. You got Pete Carroll and Sean Payton and a couple others, Mike Tomlin, who have been there forever. But for the most part, it is very – because, look, the league is set up to be 8-8, right?
Yep.
And so what happens is Vrabel could be a great coach here and be just as good – or a better coach in 2023 than he is now. But the cyclical nature maybe dictates that maybe they'll be 6-10, and then it's like, okay, well, what do you change?
Right.
The coach gets changed. There you go. That was my thought, Robbie.
Okay, good.
My thought. It was in my head somewhere.
That was worth the wait. I'm glad you figured that out before the segment wrapped up.
Wasn't that worthwhile?
I usually figure it out like 2 days later.
No, I'm actually kind of – I feel really good inside for finding that.
I'm glad you do.
It just scurried away from my brain.
That's what we were kind of making fun of you earlier in the show, that Vrabel was getting after you. I'm glad we can make you feel better about yourself now. This is what we're here for, a morning drive.
Yes, this is a day I need my ego fed today after being sent to the principal's office.
That's right. When we come back – there's a whole lot of crying going on in Major League Baseball, and quite frankly, I am so tired of it. We'll talk about that next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic. Joe, there is a story circulating in Major League Baseball that, to me, epitomizes everything that is wrong with Major League Baseball. Fernando Tatis Jr. of the San Diego Padres hit a grand slam on a 3-0 count the other night, and it has just set people into a frenzy. I think the Padres were up, I think, 7-0 at the time. He hits the grand slam on a 3-0 count, and the unwritten rules of baseball, you don't swing on a 3-0 count when you're up by that much. It is just the dumbest thing I think I've ever heard. These unwritten rules in baseball drive me absolutely nuts. What happens if you're a player, and here Rexrode again with his computer is on and volume coming out. This is a daily thing.
That should be it. That's an unwritten rule in radio.
It's a violation.
That's an unwritten rule in radio.
You might be right about the old man Joe segment. Might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, old man Joe.
Jeez. Joe Van Winkle.
But anyway.
before Joe's computer interrupted me. What happens in a game, and both they were playing the Rangers. The Rangers manager and the Padres manager have come out and talked about this since then, basically getting after Tatis Jr. for swinging and hitting the ball on a 3-0 count. Number one, if you don't want him to hit the ball on a 3-0 count, how about you don't serve one up right down the middle? That's step one. Step two, this is professional sports. I don't care about running the score up. If I'm a guy out there playing, I want to beat you by 50 runs every game. I don't care. It's your job to stop me. It's not my job to cater to you because you can't throw the ball down. You can't pitch a strike. I'm not going to sit here and just watch a lollipop go down the middle on a 3-0 count and just because your feelings might get hurt, not swing at it. Baseball does this so much, and it makes it so difficult for somebody like me who grew up playing baseball. I played baseball for almost 20 years. I love baseball. Love playing baseball. I can't watch it because of stupid stuff like this. I mean, it is just, they are so out of touch with reality. They are so out of touch with what sports fans want to watch. I'm just so sick of it. This is one of the dumbest stories I think I've ever seen in my life.
It's pretty bad. I mean, it's just like Steve Spurrier. He said that all the time. Hey, stop us then, you know? Like, he puts in his backups and they're still throwing the ball. Well, I want to get them reps. So if you have a problem with it, then stop us. But, yes, baseball in particular, unwritten rules. Jeff Passan tweeted this yesterday from ESPN. Like, here's the thing about unwritten rules. Like, when you write them down, they look stupid. That's why they're unwritten rules. And there are always going to be those, quote-unquote, unwritten rules in baseball. And some of them, okay, fine. You know some of the stuff with, like, showing up a pitcher and stuff.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Leonard, one flap down, going real slow on the base pass. Okay, someone might get thrown at after that. I can live
with
that.
Don't flip the bat too hard.
Yeah, I mean, some of it gets a little stupid. This is really stupid, though. Like, if you are in contract negotiations, what are you judged on?
Production.
Right. So what do you say? Hey, but I respected the game. I could have had a home run. I could have like four more home runs last year, but I followed the unwritten rules. No, screw that, man. Play baseball.
Oh, the best part is, like, I think the Padres manager was talking about, you know, our guys have a green light on 3-0 most of the time, but when you're up by 7 runs in the game, probably just don't need to do it then. I hope to God that the Padres are up like 8-0 later this year and they just start watching pitches go by and they come back and lose. Because what's your response going to be then if Tatis doesn't swing at that pitch when he could have knocked it out of the park? You come back and lose that game, which can happen in baseball. We've seen it. You can have a meltdown in the 8th inning, in the 9th inning, and then totally lose. It's you play to win the game until the game's over. It's especially in professional sport. Like if you're coaching, you know, a 10-year-old little league team and you're up 15-0, yeah, probably back off a little bit. You don't really need to get it there.
Yeah, but I'm still like, if a kid wants to swing at a fat pitch, I'm not like,
I know, I'm not going to
swing at the pitch.
I would say it, but I at least understand where that mindset comes from with kids. Again, if I'm the coach, we're hanging up 35. I don't care. But professional sports, this is so childish.
I mean,
if you want them to get out, you got to go work to get them out.
I mean, I brought up the Spurrier example. There is, like in football, you can control a little bit because you don't have to throw, right? Like in football, if you're destroying someone, it's like, you know, the clock, there's still time on the clock. I mean, you can just, most people would expect you to just run the ball. Hey, you still might score, but at least you would just run the ball. People get ticked off if you throw, you know, you play action and you take a shot. That's perceived. That's a choice you make in football. In baseball, if you're playing baseball, you're in a batter's box and you're swinging your
object of the game.
What are you supposed to do? I mean, are you playing or not?
Yeah, see, it's a lot different with the shot in the NBA when, like, if you're up 20 and you have the last possession of the game, like, don't shoot the ball.
Yeah.
Like, that's the obvious one.
That's fine.
And that's a little different than, you know, the game is still going. These guys can easily still come back. I didn't see innings that there's a lot of runs being scored. And they can easily come back. I'm swinging at everything. As a batter, what am I supposed to do? Like, just hold my bat and just wait for a strike to go by and then kind of walk? Like,
Well, right.
I just don't get it.
And it's, I mean, you're right on the last possession of basketball. But before that, you might be up 40. And whoever's on the floor, are they supposed to not shoot every time? I mean, even if there's no chance the other team coming back, before the last possession, you probably have backups in. Take your shot. Shoot shots. Play.
Yeah.
If you're playing baseball. Yeah, and like Tingler for the Padres, I mean, it's idiotic what the Rangers said. But I can't believe Tingler. You know,
basically threw his own guy under the bus.
Called it a teachable moment and stuff. Come on,
how dare
man.
You hit that grand
a teachable
slam
moment? It's just you probably, I guess, just because you know that there's going to be retaliation in that moment. But really, what you should be doing right there is saying, "See, this is one of those things about baseball that's stupid that should change." That's what someone should have said that night.
He should have said, "This is a teachable moment." To show how soft the MLB is.
Yeah,
that's what
exactly. Right.
Well, it's look, I think baseball is the biggest defender of stuff like this, but it happens in all sports. Like the other day, I think Alain Vigneault, coach of the Philadelphia Flyers, he got so upset that the Canadians sent out their top power play unit when they were up late in the game. Get over it. Just stop them. First off, in hockey, your lead can evaporate like that. I mean, it could be gone in an instant. So these professional sports coaches and managers and players whining about other teams trying to run up the score, it's literally your job to stop them. Yeah. If you can't do that, sorry.
It reminds me of that Cam Newton season, his MVP season, when every time he would score a rushing touchdown, he'd be dancing and doing all kind of stuff. And it made players mad. But I'm like, guess what? Tackle him. Hit him. Hit him before he gets to the end zone. Yeah, if you don't like to see him dab, then hit him behind the end zone so he doesn't score, and then he doesn't dab on you.
Steph Curry hits a 35-footer on you. You don't like what he's doing? Well, do something else.
You go guard him.
Make him stop. Yeah.
It's just so stupid. And this is, again, baseball this year, and it's not just this year, it's every year, they do such a great job of getting in their own way. Like, the negotiations this year between the MLBPA and the MLB, when you had a real opportunity, I think, to get the season going, you could have been the only thing going for months. It would have really helped your sport, especially casual sports fans like people my age that, quite frankly, a lot of them don't care about baseball, and I don't blame them after given some of the things that they do. You could have had a huge opportunity to attract some new fans, and you just continually get in your own way to the point where, quite frankly, to me, it's become unwatchable. I cannot watch baseball. I will not watch baseball. It's just not going to happen.
Wow. I'm not all the way there with you, but you're absolutely right about the things they've done to hurt themselves. It's every chance you get to get new eyeballs on your product, you do it. It's like a little bit different situation, but hearing from NHL people about how it was actually good to not be in South Korea in 2018, I was like, that's mind-bogglingly stupid. So, thank goodness that's changing. I mean, that's all anybody – 2010 gold medal game was the
– one of the greatest games I've ever watched.
It was incredible, and it was all people around the country were talking about. How often does that happen with hockey? Not often. All right, we're fixing pro sports today.
Yes, this is what we're trying to do here on the show. When we come back, do we think there's a chance – that the Big Ten could reverse their decision to not play college football this year in the fall? We'll talk about that next. But first, rocknashville.com is your community resource page. Check it out for information around town, including Nashville's Good to Go initiatives, CDC updates, ways to help the Middle Tennessee community. That's rocknashville.com. We'll be right back on Morning Drive, live from the Holsta Link studio, powered by rumbleon.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.